This month, we're looking at, look at your neighbor and say, welcome to this month. Happy new month. Ask anybody, did you have a good believers meeting? Yeah, what's the answer? How many of you minister by the gifts of the Spirit here? Let me see your hands. Yeah, let me see your hands. Raise your hand. If you minister by the gifts of the Spirit, you minister by word of knowledge, let me see your hands. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracles. Yeah, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Yeah, so this month we're looking at a very interesting, in fact, we're going to start a series today that will last us till March, April, May. In Christ, that is in June. Yeah, so March, April, May, maybe into June. And we're going to be looking at the general theme is investigating scriptures. You can even say investigating scriptures. Yeah, we're going to be investigating scriptures. What does it mean to investigate scriptures? What does it mean to investigate scriptures? Remember the title of that series came when we're teaching. Is that true? Is that true? Remember, we're teaching one day, 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, our title just came, investigating scriptures. Yeah, so like we said, on Sundays, we'll be teaching about how to study the Bible, how to go about studying the Bible, how to study the Bible, things to watch out for while studying the Bible. Yeah, so we'll be doing how to study the Bible in its simplest form, maybe on Sundays, while on Wednesdays, yeah, remember, we're going to be looking at those sacred cows, yeah, from scriptures. We're going to be looking at those things that looks like there are ideologies in Christianity that cannot be touched. Those things that looks like, don't touch it. No, our forefathers have done it. No. You know, but we're going to look at what the Bible says about these things. What does the Bible say about these things, yeah? Are they wrong in themselves, yeah? Are we to continue doing certain things? We're going to look at all of that on Wednesday. So we're going to be running two parallel series, that's true. And to always make sure that if you cannot make it for a Wednesday service, you try and get the MP3 recording. Is that fine? Yeah. This morning, let's go into the board. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's see chapter 2. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy, spiritual son, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can we read that together? 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah, so Paul talking to Timothy in a midst or in an environment of where you have false teachers. You know, he mentioned some of their names in previous verses and preceding verses. You know, and he says Timothy should have an attitude of study. That word there, study, is the word that means what? To be eager, right? To labor, to be eager, to have an act or an art of researchful reading. Yeah, to have an art of researchful reading. Paul is telling Timothy, have an art of researchful reading to show thyself as approved of God. Yeah, to show that God has approved you. A workman, that word there, workman, is like a word you can say a farmer or a toiler. A farmer, a toiler that needed not to be ashamed. Ashamed of what? To be ashamed of what he is doing, which is what? Laboring. A toiler who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, we said that if there's a right way to divide the word of truth, there's also a what? A wrong way. But what disposition should a minister of reconciliation have? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, that word means carefully bringing out something from the midst of rubbish. Yeah, it's a word usually assisted with miners when you want to bring out diamond from the midst of rocks. You carefully bring out diamond because you don't want to miss some of the diamond in the midst of rock. That is the art a Bible student, or the disposition a Bible student, should have when looking at the truth of God's word. Look at the next chapter. He says in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise in the light of salvation. Yeah, to make you skillful concerning salvation. Salvation that is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you've known the scriptures which are able to make you wise. Make you wise unto salvation. Look at the next verse. What does it say in the next verse? Verse 16. He now says, all scriptures is given by inspiration. Yeah, that word given by inspiration of God is a word that means God breathed. It is God that inspired the scriptures to be written. Yeah, all scriptures are given by inspiration and they are profitable. The word they're profitable is the word advantageous. Profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching, yeah? What is teaching? Yeah, doctrine, yeah. Doctrine is teaching. Teaching is doctrine. What is reproof? Evidence, yeah. Evidence, assurance. So from scriptures, the advantage of scriptures is for teaching. In teaching, we find evidence. Evidence as to what? Evidence to our reality. In this evidence, we find correction. What does correction mean there? To rectify or to straighten up. So when we are well taught properly, that is making use of the advantage of scriptures, which is for doctrine, we find assurance, we find correction, which is to rectify patterns or systems that we thought were right. All from where? Hallelujah. It says for instruction in righteousness. So there's a wisdom of scriptures. Is that true? What's the wisdom of scriptures? Salvation. That means when we read scriptures, the wisdom we should take out from scriptures is in reference to what? Salvation. Look at everybody and say salvation. Salvation. Say salvation is the theme of scriptures. Hallelujah. Remember Numbers 9:14. Go to Numbers 9:14. Number 9:11, right? Not 14. Numbers 9:11. Yeah, beautiful. The 14th day of the thou shalt keep it. How do you keep it? Thou shalt eat what? Unleavened bread and what? Bitter herbs. What is the 14th day of the second month? February 14th. What do you call February 14th? Yeah, what are we supposed to eat on February 14th? Unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Don't go to where Sister Esther's mind went to. Hallelujah, yeah? Unleavened bread and bitter herbs, yeah? How many of us ate unleavened bread on February 14th? Yeah? None of us, right? None of us, yeah? Why? So what did we just do? We just picked a scripture out of context and made a rule out of it. You know, so it is that, how come we don't pick Numbers 9:11 to know what to eat on Valentine's Day, but we'll pick Philippians 4:13 and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you think all the things you can do is all the things on earth. Yeah? So we choose to pick Philippians 4:13, but we do not choose to pick what? Numbers 9:11. So that's why you see people say, oh no, pastor, let's read in what? So can you see? You want to read in context because you want to eat fried rice on Valentine's Day. Yeah? But you don't want to read in context when it comes to the ability of things you can do as a believer. Look, see Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Philemon 6. That the communication of their faith might be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, I thank my Lord Jesus. Philemon 1:6. I thank my God, making mentions of thee always in my prayer. Verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, we see that towards all the saints. How do you know a man's love towards the Lord Jesus Christ? We see it in his love demonstration towards the what? Saints. Look at verse 6. That the communication of thy faith might become effectual. How? By the acknowledging, by the comprehensive and precise understanding of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So how does your communication of your faith become effective? By acknowledging, having a precise understanding of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. How do you have a precise understanding? By studying. Yeah. Remember when Paul told Timothy, go to 1 Timothy 2 verse 2, before he told Timothy to study to show himself approved, he had told Timothy something very profound about how knowledge is passed across. 2 Timothy 2, 2 sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things thou had heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same. Look at everybody and say, the same. The same. Commit thou to faithful men. Who shall what? Be able to teach others also. Is that true? Is that true? What is Paul's instruction to Timothy? You know what I've taught you, Timothy, as my son. The same thing that I have taught you, commit it to other men who will be able to teach others. Can you see the circle? A man teaches others to teach others. A man teaches others to teach others. Yeah? A man teaches others to teach others. So, Paul is saying that faithful men you are to commit these things onto. So, in your committing to them, they commit also to others. That summarizes the instruction Jesus gave in Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, 20. He says what? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach. Preach the gospel, yeah, to make people students. Make people students. Teach the word of truth. Teach the word of truth, yeah, teach the word of truth. What are they to teach? He told them, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Where do we know he commanded them? He's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Yeah, so Jesus never said goodbye. Is that true? He said, I'm with you always. He didn't say, I will see you in the last day. He said, I am with you what? Always. He lifted her and said, Jesus is with me always. He says, teaching them. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. He says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. Remember, Matthew 28 says what? Commandment. All that I have commanded you to obey, all that I have commanded you. Yeah? And in Acts 1, 2 now shows us that commandment, what was the commandment about? Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by what? Many infallible proofs. Now, being seen of them, how many days? How many days did they see him? What was he doing for 40 days? Speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So the same way he communicated knowledge by teaching is the same way Paul is saying, communicate this same knowledge which you've seen and bore witness amongst many witnesses to other faithful men who will teach other faithful men. Yeah, so we are not in our faith, you know, our faith, our Christian faith is not about, I wake up on Sunday morning, I just open my Bible and just say, the Holy Spirit minister to me. Yeah, you just put your Bible as if you want to draw. What do you do that competition? Draw the sword. Yeah, draw your sword. Yeah, just put your Bible like that. Say, Holy Spirit, minister to me. Anywhere I open, speak to me. You open it. Judas killed himself. No. That's the devil trying to contaminate the Holy Ghost. Yeah? Yeah? You close it back. Holy Spirit, speak to me again. You open the second time and he says, oh, and he did it quickly. Yeah, no. That's not for me. Yeah, but the instruction you took from the Bible was Judas killed himself. Simply, what do you do? Go and kill yourself. In case that is not enough for you, the next verse says what? Do it quick. Glory to God. We are to the same thing that we are being taught, communicate to other men. So what we learn, we know that it doesn't end with us. We know that we continue the cycle by giving other men to give other men. That is how the world will be reached. Hallelujah. You see, God preaches the gospel through men. Amen. Yeah. Don't think that Paul heard the gospel by the appearance he had or whatever he had, the vision. No. Hallelujah. The gospel is to be preached by men. If it was in the vision, he heard the gospel and believed, it would mean that Paul would not write in Romans 10 that how would they hear if there is no preacher? Yeah? So the gospel is to be preached from men to other men to give other men. But there is a how to this. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 27. There's a how to this. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and you know, who is this he that arose? See verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto who? What did he say unto Philip? Arise and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Look at verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of where? Now, an eunuch of great authority under Chandra's queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasure. Ethiopian what? Eunuch. Is that true? What was he in possession of? The charge of all the treasures of the queen of Ethiopia, right? Yeah? And he had come to Jerusalem to do what? To worship. Remember that teaching on worship? Praises through the lens of Christ. How do you worship? Worship was about the sacrifices or offerings or things you brought. Yeah, look at verse 28. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read where? Isaiah the prophet. When you see Isaiah's here, is what? Isaiah. Yeah, he read Isaiah. He was reading a portion of scripture where Isaiah was speaking. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit of God said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto his chariot. Is that figurative? It is an instruction in itself, but it sounds figurative. Yeah, I mean, look at it. When he says, join thyself to the chariot. If you want to look at it literally, it is go and attach yourself to the chariot. Yeah? But what he was really saying was what? Go and sit down with the Ethiopian eunuch. Is that true? Yeah? Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet. Prophet who? And what did he say? Understandest thou what thou readest? Understandest thou what thou readest? In James version. Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I? So Philip reached out to him and he said, do you understand what you are reading? What did Ethiopian eunuch, what did he say? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? You see that? But look at it. Was the Ethiopian eunuch reading? Was he reading? Yeah. Was he reading? Yeah. Did he have guidance? Yeah.
Did you understand what he was reading?
No.
That means a man can read and not understand.
Yes.
Is that true? Write that down.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to write.
Yeah, a man can read scriptures and not understand what he's reading. Is that true? And he desired Philip to come sit with him. Why? Because he didn't have a guide. He said, how can I understand except someone should guide me? That means it's possible a man reads the Bible and doesn't understand without guidance. Yeah, it's possible. It's not absolute. It's possible, right? Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? It's possible. Look at what he now says in the next verse, verse 32. He now says, the place of the scripture which he read was what? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Is this in the scriptures? Is this in the scriptures? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. Was that in the scripture? What part of the scripture was that taken from? Isaiah, right? Because the Bible says that he was reading the book of prophet Isaiah. Look at verse 33. He now says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Look at what he says in verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, what did he say? I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet. Now, when he say I pray thee, is he praying? Was he praying? Was he praying? So that means every time you say I pray, he's not always talking about what? Prayer. Yeah? So can you see? We're starting Bible interpretation. Yeah? So I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? That is, I'm asking you, I wish to understand, who was the prophet Isaiah speaking about? Was he speaking of himself or some other men? Go to Isaiah, where he quoted that from. Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 to 8. Remember, Isaiah 53, verse 7 to 8. Look at what he says. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Is this similar to what we're reading? So what that means, was he in scriptures?
Yes.
So that means, was the eunuch reading from scriptures?
Yes.
Was it from scriptures?
Yes.
Yeah? Go back to Acts. Acts 8. Verse 20, verse 34 now. He now says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he speaking of himself or speaking of another man? Hallelujah. See what Philip did in verse 35. Then Philip opened what? Opened what? Now, does that mean Philip did like this? Ha. Is that what Philip did? No, what did he do? He opened his mouth. How do we see him open his mouth? He began at the same scripture and he preached unto him who? Jesus. So when he said, like a sheep led before the shearer, don't be thinking you are a sheep of your father's house and they are putting you into persecution. No, it's not about you. But he said, who does this speak about? And what did Philip do? He explained that same text. What did he do in context? Remember, Ephesians was not there at the time. So he explained Isaiah concerning Christ. Is that true? 2 Timothy 3:15, what does it say? And from your child you know the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto what? Salvation. Yeah, all scriptures are given, profitable for teaching, make you wise unto salvation. So scriptures point to what? A person. Salvation. Hallelujah. Scripture points to salvation. Yeah, so what he did was he read in context Isaiah 53. What are we to do? We are to read the Bible in context. Look at him and say, read your Bible in context. Now, who is your Lord and Savior? Who is your Lord and Savior? Who died and was buried and rose again for your sake? Yeah, Jesus, right? Jesus. So, can you say Jesus that died for you is Almighty God? Yeah, remember that teaching we did 2 weeks ago? Jesus is God. Jesus is not junior God. Jesus is the full expression of God to mankind. Is that true? That means Jesus is God. Is Jesus junior God? You see, stop thinking of that thing we grew up thinking. Don't think of Igbo palace where God is on one throne like this. Jesus is now on one stool. One knee down. Holy Spirit is not like dove. Yeah, remember that teaching? Remember that teaching we're teaching about dove? The Holy Spirit is not a dove. Is that true? How did John the Baptist know what God was saying? By what? Utterance, right? Yeah, you remember, yeah? So the one you was talking about, dove, there was no dove in the picture. But remember, the Holy Spirit is not dove. Yeah, don't be in church like this and you are using AC. And one dove push the door and enter. I say, that's the Holy Spirit. No, no. Yeah, don't say he has come to give you blessing. No, 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 no. Yeah, hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is not dove. The Holy Spirit is not the one that is hovering around. Then Angel Gabriel wants to now blow the trumpet. John will now say, I'm begging you, I'm a warning. Please, if you give them more time. God will now look at him and say, because of you. Let the earth just continue. No, 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 no. Yeah? So don't misquote and make intercession for you to think that his intercession is what? In the fact that he's kneeling down. No. The intercession is in his what? Living. In the fact that he is alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what happened? Go to Luke 24. So we've established that Jesus is God. That means God is Jesus. Yeah? So when you see Jesus, can you say God? So is God fully expressed as Jesus? So is Jesus 100% God? Look at Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Who did they not see? Who did they not see? They were looking for Christ, right? Is that true? Yeah, but did they see him? Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, who is the he that said unto them? Christ, yeah? What did Christ say unto them? Who are the them? The them are those that went to sepulchre and saw it as so as the woman had said. So who are the them? No, don't go far. Who are the them? The them are those that saw the tomb empty. Yeah? Then he said to them, he said, oh fools, yeah? Our Lord and Savior, God Jesus Christ, called them all fools. Now, he didn't just call them all fools because they drove recklessly. Yeah? He didn't just do all these things we are doing, your papa. You know when you're driving and somebody cross you, just say, your papa. Yeah, you don't know if that's even your member. Yeah, so you just think that he said unto them, all fools and slow of heart to believe. Now, why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe. To believe what? What the prophet have spoken. That means the prophet spoke. Did they speak? Did they speak? Did the prophet spoke? Yeah, they spoke, right? They did spoke. Is that true? But we can say they did speak. Yeah? But what were they to do about what they spoke? They were to believe what the prophet spoke. Look at what he says in verse 26. What did the prophet speak? What we call spoke. Yeah? Yeah? What did they speak? The summary of what they spoke is what? That is the summary of what they speak this time. Is that true? Yeah? The summary of what they spoke is that ought not Christ to have suffered these things. What are these things they were talking about? The fact that he will be killed, he will resurrect. Christ was to suffer these things and to what? Enter into his glory. So the prophet wrote about Christ suffering certain things and to enter into what? His glory. Look at what he now did. So remember, who is Jesus? Is Jesus Junior God? Yeah? Is Jesus Junior God? Is Jesus the full expression of God? Yeah? So Jesus is the exact of God. Look at what he says. Can we say, and God beginning at Moses? Is that a right way to read that? Who began to read for Moses? Jesus, right? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, who began to read from Moses? God, yeah? That's what I want to hear. Yeah? Was it Jesus? No. Was it Jesus? Yeah? Was it Jesus? Was it God? Yeah, so God began to explain scriptures beginning at where? Moses. So when you see Moses in the Bible, what does that mean? The writings of who? Moses. So where Moses started writing from, that's where Jesus took to start explaining what? Scriptures. Where did Moses start writing from? Genesis. So can you say that God went to Genesis to explain things concerning himself? Is that true? Is that true? God went to Genesis to explain the things concerning himself. God went to Isaiah to explain as a sheep led before a shearer. How do you think Philip knew? How do you think Philip knew? It's simple. Come again. He had understanding what you did. How did he have that understanding? Who taught him? I love what he said. He said God taught him. How do we see God taught him? God taught him by the 40-day seminar teaching. Is that true? Yeah? There was a 40-day seminar teaching, Acts 1, 2, 3. God taught Philip. So, the best of God that taught mankind was Jesus, the man. God taught Philip, which is Jesus taught Philip for 40 days. That is how Philip knew what, as he was led before the shearer. So, yeah, he was talking about Christ. So God explained himself from scriptures. Are we together? So how, if we have any confusion about God, where do we clear it? Scriptures. See, that means we don't see or we follow men that say that, oh, Spirit of God called me to my, you know, some people, the Holy Spirit tapped me around 3:14 a.m. Yeah, they always have the time and second. Yeah, he tapped me at about, you forgot that he must have tapped you before, but you responded at 3:14. Okay. So he tapped me at 3:14 and called me Apostle. Yeah, so even God recognizes you as a ministry gift, that's fine. Yeah, and he still calls you your title. So Apostle. Open that scripture. You see, there is a mystery behind that, that it will take certain men to understand. And I've chosen you to be one of those men. Yeah, so they come to church on Sunday and next day they say, what I'm about to share with you this morning, as I have not seen, ears I have not heard. Even Apostle Paul did not know. Apostle Paul looked forward. Hey! Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah. So, Apostle Paul's looking forward is their personal revelation. And they said, God showed me. But we saw that God showed Philip by a seminar of teaching. Yeah? See, Nigeria, let me say this way, Christianity will not be in the face of confusion that it is right now if we were able to continue committing the same thing to other men, to continue committing to other men. Yeah? Remember that example? If I called 5 people out and I told one of them something, and the other one started trying to make it personalized. You know, you want to sound different. Yeah? I want to sound unique in my way. Yeah? But you don't know that there's sometimes when you change some words in trying to sound unique, you've lost the essence of the sentence. Are we together? Yeah? So what do? We learn the same thing and commit to faithful men who will do the same and commit to other faithful men. Yeah? So all that the prophet spoke were concerning what? Christ. So there were things. Now remember, scripture says concerning himself. That means it wasn't even actually all that the prophet spoke that about him. But what Jesus did was he selectively what? Explained scriptures in reference to himself. Yeah? Yeah? We can't afford to be mischievous and say Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible. Even David, when he picked 5 stones. 5 stones. One was J, one was E, one was S. Yeah? But you don't know that what you are saying is very complex. How many stones killed Goliath? Was it not the first stone? So that means only J is all you need. That means to be saved, you don't need Jesus, you just need J. Yeah? And Jesus means 5-letter words. And Jesus means grace. Say grace. Bang, bang, bang. Grace. Yeah? And grace too is 5-letter words. Yeah? That makes 5. Number of grace, number of 5. Anyhow you want to put it. But what are we to do? We are to critically examine scriptures and explain scriptures in context. The same way you did not read Numbers 14 verse 11 and ate Valentine food as unleavened bread and bitter cola. Yeah, you remember, if I open to Deuteronomy 28 now and it says, remember that scripture, cursed shall you be when you go out. Why was the church quiet that day? Because all of you in your mind were saying, Pastor, let's go and read in context. Is that not why? Pastor, it's not me they were talking to. Yeah, let's go and read in context. Yeah, but when we go to Philippians 4 verse 13, you can, oh, all things are yours, glory to God, all things are, how can all things be yours? When you say all things are yours, it means that what is even mine is yours. That's the meaning of, oh, can you see covetousness? How can all things be yours? He that spake unto the Son shall give us all things that part. Let's read in context. Remember, all things are working together for my good. Did we explain it last week Sunday? Remember that teaching? What are the all things? Predestination, justification, right? In the next verse. Yeah? He's not saying that everything, even though it will include sin. Are we together? Yeah? That means sin too is working for you. That means you can sin so that it will work together for your good. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. That means, where do we see the testimony of Christ in regards to the suffering of Christ? From what the prophet searched and tried to look in diligently. Okay, let's read again. Go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, what did the prophets search diligently in reference to? They look forward to an understanding of what? Look at it now. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched. So what did they inquire and search diligently towards? Yeah, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which it was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should what? Glory that should what? Yeah. So when you see scriptures, yeah, write this down in your note. When you see scriptures, what does scriptures mean? Scriptures oftentimes means writings. Yeah, scriptures oftentimes means writing. Scriptures, writing. That Greek word you call graphy. Yeah, sometimes scriptures are used as grammar. Yeah, for instance, in 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, 16, you have two scriptures there. Remember, we've done the explanation. Yeah, first one is grammar, second one is graphy. Yeah, so scriptures, anytime you see scriptures, what you think about is what? Writings. When you see writings, what comes to your mouth again, your mind again? Okay, you can write this down. The Bible, for starters, Bibles can be split into two portions or two parts. The Bible can be split into two parts. The first part is what you call the Old Testament books. Yeah? What you call the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, Genesis to Malachi. We usually refer to them as the Hebrew text. Genesis to Malachi. Then the second portion can be easily called the Greek texts, which we call Matthew to Revelation. What we call the New Testament books. Matthew to Revelation. Yeah. So in this our explanation, we will explain certain things and see that in as much as we call them Old Testament books and New Testament books, it doesn't mean that New Testament was not found in the Old Testament. Is that true? Yeah. It doesn't mean that New Testament. So now, one question we need to ask ourselves. Look at Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24 verse 34. We can further divide the Old Testament books into segments as Jesus spoke. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 44. 44. Look at what Jesus said. He said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Yeah? What would that mean? It would mean that what Jesus was doing in Luke 24, verse 44 was a post-resurrection seminar. Is that true? So, but Luke summarized it to be like a very brief story. But Acts 1 to the same Luke tells us that it lasted for many days? 40 days, right? So he says, these are the words which I spake while I was yet with you. That is before I was crucified. That all things must be what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Remember, Luke 24, 24, what does he say? He says, beginning at Moses and the prophet. When you go to Luke 24, 44, what did he add to the prophet? Psalms, yeah? So now we can further divide the Old Testament books into what? Law of Moses. Yeah? You can write that down also. The law of Moses, which is what? Genesis to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the scriptures. So we call that the law of Moses. Yeah, after that, what is the major thing you should pick again from there? The prophets. Are we together? Yeah, Prophet Isaiah, Prophet Nehemiah. Is that true? Prophet Ezekiel, is that true? Yeah, is that true? Yeah, so what did Jesus do? He picked Isaiah's story and explained it. He picked Prophet Nehemiah's story and explained it. He picked Ezekiel's story and explained it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then we can further divide the Old Testament books into what? Law of Moses. Secondly, prophets. And thirdly, Psalms. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 1 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by his prophet. Remember, we said that God does not speak in diverse manners, but men can explain God speaking in diverse manners. Yeah, so a better way to read this would be what? At sundry times and in diverse manners the prophet spoke unto the fathers. What God was trying to communicate was communicated as one, but the prophets communicated it in what? Diverse manners. Are we together? Now look at verse 2. He now says that, now prophets, would that include Moses? Yeah, would that include Moses? Remember the amplified version we read, he said as a certain portion of truth. So what the prophets were revealing in their words were in portions. But Christ is the full revelation. So what we did was that we removed that word God from verse 1 and put it in verse 2. And we now started reading verse 2 as God hath in this last day spoken unto us in his son. What you see by his son, in his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things. That all things there is in italics, if you check well in your Bible, heir of all. Yeah, heir of all. Yeah, by whom also he made the world. So the prophet spoke in diverse manners at sundry times to the fathers. But God, as in these last days, we have seen the full revelation of God to mankind. Remember John chapter 14, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way that is the reality, that is life. Yeah? Philip now asks a question. He says, so what will you show us the Father? What did Jesus say? Are you so long without me to not know that when you see me, you have seen the Father? Yeah? So what was Jesus teaching? He is the Father. Hallelujah. He is the Father. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 2 Peter 1, 12, 20. 2 Peter 1, 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Yeah, this is an introductory class. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. That's what everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. No prophecy or scripture is of any what? Private. What does that mean? It means that when you are considering scriptures, you consider it as a whole. You don't pick one portion and make it sound, say what it's not saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't pick scriptures. You see, that's why we say a lot of Christians, or a lot of Christians end up in what you call depression. Yeah, because a lot of things that God did not promise them, they promised themselves by reading scriptures out of context. Hallelujah. Yeah? A lot of things that God did not promise them, they promised themselves by reading scripture out of context. Yeah? So that is the essence of this teaching. To go back and revisit all these scriptures and most of the scriptures to see what was really being said. What was really being said? What was really being said? Yeah, that's why we call it investigating scriptures. How to study the Bible? How do we study the Bible? Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. He says, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Okay. He says, and as also in all his epistles, look at verse 15, and accounts that are that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Yeah, so what should you have in your mind when you read Paul's letter? Put into account that the long suffering, the patience of our Lord is what? Salvation. When you want to see God's patience, he always ends up in salvation. Yeah, a proper read of 2 Peter up until the end will show you that Peter could not have been talking about how God destroyed the earth with Noah's, the Noah's Ark experience. Yeah, because he expects that you read from chapter 1 up until chapter 3 to see that what accounts that the patience and long suffering of our Lord is what to save salvation. God's plan is salvation for mankind, to save mankind, salvation. Look at verse 16. And also in all his epistles, who is the all his epistles there? That'll be Paul. Speaking in them of the things in which are some things too hard to be understood. Is that true? Yeah, that means there are some scriptures we read and they are hard to be understood. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Ah, no, is that not true? Okay, do we understand every scripture? Is the explanation of every scripture as easy going or smoothly to be interpreted? Yeah? So we see that there are some things that we need to critically examine when studying. Is that true? Is that true? That means we're in a generation where some people also what have they find it hard to understand when they read scriptures. It says what? Which they are on land and on stable rest, as they do also in other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yeah? So, now we're going to be examining what are the examples of these scriptures. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, yeah? So, what we're going to be doing the next 2-3 months is to pick scriptures by scriptures and explain in the light of Christ. Why? Because the Bible says that scriptures point to salvation. Jesus said that scriptures point to... Look at John 5:39. John 5 verse 39. John 5:39. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. but they are they which what? Testify of me. Yeah? They are they which testify of me. Look at verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. 41. I have received no honor from men. Verse 42. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Verse 43. I am called in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Verse 44. How can ye believe which receive honor of one another and seek honor for coming from God only? Verse 45. Do not think that I have come to accuse the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have what? Believed me. Had you believed Moses, you should have believed me. Why should you have believed me by believing Moses? He wrote about me. He wrote of me. So who was Moses writing about? Christ. Hallelujah. Who was Moses writing about? Christ. So when you read Moses' writing, what should come to your mind? Okay, what was he saying about Christ in this story? What was he saying about Christ in this context? What was he really saying? Remember, we've established that the Old Testament books are explained where in the New Testament books. The apostles in the New Testament did not write things from their head. All they were doing was explaining what the Old Testament writings. Are we together? Yeah, that's why, you know, in this series, we also look at it. We will see that, for instance, in the book of Romans, Paul quoted the Old Testament book about 78 times. 16 chapters. In 16 chapters, he was giving allusion and quoting from scriptures, which is Old Testament books, about 78 times. The writer of Hebrews quoted the Old Testament books about 100 times. So they were picking, writing, and explaining. Picking, writing, and explaining through the lens of Christ. Hallelujah. So we are to read their writings through their understanding. Now, let's start looking at the rules of Bible interpretation. Number one, always remember that scriptures point to salvation. Number one, always remember that scriptures point to salvation. Always remember that scriptures point to salvation. Always remember that scriptures point to salvation. Number two, always remember that scriptures were not written in English. Always remember that scriptures were not written in English. Always remember that scriptures were not written in chapters and verses. Always remember that the scriptures were not written in chapters and verses. Scriptures were not written in chapters and in verses. Yeah? For now, we'll stop with there and continue in that line. So we're considering these three things for now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. Or look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor has he heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Yeah? Is this a verse that we use for confession? Yeah, so see that brother said yes. Yeah, so we use this verse to say, oh, the job and the car that God is about to give me, eyes has not seen. Sorry, if eyes has not seen, how did the manufacturer produce it? The blessing that is about to come to my way, ears have not heard. Neither has evil entered into the hearts of men. Shandai. Yeah, he said, so but now was he written? Was it written? So when you say it is written, what do you think the writer is speaking about? Scriptures. So what do you do with it is written? You go back to where it was written. And you come back there to see what he explained in the next verse. Yeah? For it is written is not about our house. It's not about our jobs. Yeah? How do we know? Just read the next verse. If you have, see, if people can remove their verses and chapters in their Bible and read the book as a whole, they will understand Bible easier and better. He said it is written. Eyes has not seen, ears has not heard. So he's not, look at it now. Look at it now. This cannot mean material. Look at it. He says, eyes has not seen, nor yet neither has he entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's not saying that because you love God, there's something special you will get more than those that don't love God. Think about it. In the generation of when ourselves, it's not those that love God that have less. It's not an insult. Now think about it. Yeah, the top 10 richest men. Show me someone that goes for Bible study and goes for VG. Yeah, are we together? So what you are saying, eyes has not seen. Remember, there's a man in Nigeria called Mr. Dangote. He has seen past you. You know, that's why I always say something. Sometimes Dangote will think he is the God of this earth. Because if he comes to his meeting now and pastor is saying, ask God for anything you want him to do. Yeah? You know, it's so callous to think that when people teach this thing, you are saying that they don't believe in miracles. Such a very interesting way of looking at life. Who doesn't believe in miracles? But miracles are not excluded to the believer. That is the truth. Because the same way you get a miracle job, I can show you 80s that I've had better. Even their tithe, your salary is not up to. But it was a miracle. Yeah, it's not because they love God. There is one thing that God has prepared for those that love him. What is that thing? We'll see in the next verse. Yeah, if that God comes for a meeting, or Pastor Femi, or Tedola, that's a Pastor Femi, like I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Yeah? Yeah, if he comes for a meeting, they say, Pastor, say, what is your prayer request, ma? He said, I just want God to give me one estate. That's all for my lifetime. He said, what's your prayer request? I want God to give me one G-Wagon. What will Pastor Femi, Brother Femi do? What will Mr. Femi do? See me in my car. You two will be running there with your CV. Just see me in my car. Meet me in my office by 10 a.m. You'll be there 10 minutes to 10. Yeah? Don't you think you would think? That's why the message of the gospel must be unique to everybody. You must teach the gospel in a way that if a rich man sits here and a poor man sits here, they are hearing the same thing and it speaks to them equally. It's saying what the scripture says. The moment a man can come for your meeting and cannot say amen to your prophecy, check what you are saying. I want to get that. That's what they will come for crossover. Pastor will be sweating. This is your year. And other people will be catching it. That miracle you are waiting for that is not ready for you, that you are not ready for. God will look at it. Would that go to say amen to such prayers? What will he do? He puts that in his pocket and he'll be smiling. I am he that was to come that is to come. Yeah, because all the that thing he can do then. So how do we know we are saying what scripture says we should say? We stick with what the apostles were teaching. We stick with what the people that Jesus commanded into our hands or to do the gospel were saying. Yeah? So look at what he says. It is written. Scripture says it. Eyes has not seen. Look at what he says in verse 10. But God, so that thing that eye has not seen, what did he say in verse 10? God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. So as I seen it, how have we seen it? It has been revealed to us by the Spirit. Simple. What did we do? We read the next verse. Look at 64. Go to Isaiah 64. That's where Paul took the quote allusion from. Isaiah chapter 54, 64 verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has I seen, O God, beside thee, what thou hast prepared for them that waited for him. Is this not where Paul was writing from? Is this not where Paul was writing from? What did Paul now explain it as in the next verse? But God has revealed how? By his spirit. Go back to, even Jesus made an allusion to this. Go to Matthew chapter 13 verse 17. Matthew 13 verse 17. He says, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see. Is that true? He made an allusion to the same thing. Prophets have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Go back to Paul's explanation, 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse now start reading from verse 7. Second Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Look at it, be careful, don't stop there. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at verse 8. Which none of those princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have what? They would not have what? That means, look at it. That means they saw something ahead, but they did not understand. Is that true? Look, see verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor yet heard, neither has he entered into the heart of men, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. But God had revealed. Yeah, say, look at neighbor and say, but. God has revealed. Look at neighbor and say, but God has revealed. Unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, we have revelation of the hidden mysteries. You see, what you call mystery, mysterion, is something that is waiting to be explained. Hallelujah. Yeah, mysterion is about something. You know, a lot of times you think of mystery as remember that teaching, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And great, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. In the flesh. Yeah, what is mystery? Something that was waiting to be explained. Yeah, so when you see mystery, don't always think of something that is abstract. Yeah, in as much as you're thinking of something abstract, always remember that it has an explanation. Look at what Paul calls it in Romans 16, verse 35. Romans 16, verse 25. What is it called? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, what Paul is saying, is he saying that there was a mystery? Now, was Paul saying there was a mystery before time? Yes, he was saying that. But what is he saying about that mystery? It has been revealed. It has been revealed. How is it being revealed? By the preaching of Christ. So Christ is the revelation of the mystery that has been kept before a secret since the world began. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 3. So he calls his epistle, he says, my epistle, the revelation, the explanation of the mysteries. Look at Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, ye may what? Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look at verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by what? His Spirit. The things that I had not seen nor ears heard has now been revealed by his Spirit to what? We as believers. Through who? The apostles. How did they get the revelation? By his Spirit. In fact, in the real sense, how was that by his Spirit explained? Jesus taught for 40 days. Amen. Are we together? Yeah, so when you wake up in the morning and say, oh, the blessing I'm going to have this day, I had not seen. Be careful what you are thinking or saying. Yeah, Paul goes further and say what? He has revealed. Yeah, so what we do is we don't hold on to context or scriptures out of context, neglecting the pretext and post-text. We look at the explanation of scriptures in scriptures, from scriptures. Yeah, you know that, I usually say something. There's a difference between exegesis and eisegesis. In exegesis, the scriptures lead, you follow. In eisegesis, you are lead, the scripture is following you. What that means is that, oh, God is going to do this for you today. You go and pick scriptures. 1 Timothy 3, verse 27. All together? Yeah? But what is exegesis? 1 Timothy 3, verse 27. And you begin to explain. Yeah? Jesus did not do eisegesis. He did what? Exegesis. Why? He says, after he said, ought not Christ, the next thing he was doing was explaining scriptures. He was picking scriptures. Hallelujah. So we have a bias as believers when we study scriptures. What is our bias? Salvation and Christ. Salvation and Christ is our bias. You know, that's why I keep telling people, that app you call daily devotion app, you know, sometimes it's always good to switch it off. Because sometimes it promises you things that God did not promise you. You see, your pastor promises you things, it doesn't happen, you are blaming God. Why don't you go and hold the pastor's shirt? Look at it now. January 1st, 2020. This year you shall buy your car. If December 31st came, you don't even buy Maruwa. Who are you? Why you buy? Who spoke? So what do you? In love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this mystery has been explained. Now, the essence of language is what? Communication. Is that true? Yeah, so in essence of language is communication. That means there are three things that you must consider in communication. Who is speaking? When you are dealing with communication, what do you consider? You consider the writer. Who is speaking? The writer or the speaker? You consider who is spoken to, the reader, and you consider the text and its construction. The writer or who is speaking, and what is his intention, the text and its construction, the readers and their and his understanding of the writer. What do you know about this writer? Yeah, I'm sure you will not want to be misquoted or misread. If I'm writing a letter to you, and anybody reads that letter on the way of getting to you, if he doesn't understand me or understands you, he might read something out of context and take what I did not say. So we consider texts and their constructions, the way these texts are used. How are they used? What is, remember, a word only has life around the surrounding texts. What I mean is that a word is not constantly a word's meaning in every context. What I simply mean is this. If I wake up in the morning and I say, I want to go and fix my car, what does that mean? I'm going to the mechanic to repair my car. If I wake up on Tuesday morning and I say, I want to go and fix money in the bank, what does that mean? I am going to the bank to deposit money. Was there a constant word in the 2 days? What's the constant word? Fix. Did they mean the same thing? No. So you cannot say the meaning of fix is definite in all contexts. Is that true? Fix is not always fix in every context. So what will give life to the meaning of fixing is the surrounding text around that word. Yeah? So we are to understand the writer, the text is construction. How do you understand the construction? You read the pretext, you read the text, you read the post-text. What was he saying? What was being said? Hallelujah. You know, a very popular example now we look at, for instance, for 1 Corinthians 11. A woman must wear, what do you do when you are, what do you call it? Yeah, women should cover their hair. Yeah? What was Paul teaching? What was Paul teaching? What was Paul teaching? Yeah, we're going to look at that this series. I think I've done an explanation before. We'll look at it again in this series. Was he talking about, now in as much as, what was he talking about? Was he talking about everybody in the universe before you go to church, you wear a scarf? No, he couldn't have been saying that. When Moses wrote Deuteronomy 22, thou shalt not wear what pertains, a woman should not wear what pertains to a man. Don't stop there. He goes further. He says a man should not wear what pertains to a woman. But why come you only pick women? Yeah? Yeah? That's all we see. But if you read in context from Deuteronomy chapter 5, you will see that Moses was teaching about what? How they will behave themselves in the land they were going to. So what Moses was teaching with Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, that shall not wear pertains to a woman. No, no, look at it, look at it. What makes, if you have a tailor, can't the tailor sew female trouser for you? Don't wear a female trouser. That we have palazzo. Yeah, we have palazzo. Yeah, yeah. That means we have, see, you must understand the cultural background. Who was being spoken about? Moses was teaching. Do you know what he was teaching in Deuteronomy 22? He was teaching how to curb homosexuality. No, how come we pick women? Don't wear what pertains to men. That's all. In that same verse, men don't wear what pertains to women. Yeah? So, we don't pick a text and just say, look at, anybody that picks that shall not wear trousers as a woman must read cost at you when you go out and when you come in. It's for you. Hallelujah. Anybody that finished reading Deuteronomy chapter and this thing, you must read where they say, don't eat food on this. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So don't just pick. Hallelujah. So you don't just pick Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. That's another part of the woman. Anybody that wears trousers, they are going to fire. I want fire. Anybody that wears trousers, their name is not in the book of life. If you are born again today and you wear trousers tomorrow, God will use the pet and clean your name. Because you are aware what pertains to a man. But you forgot that the same Bible said, if you go out, you are cursed. When you come in, you are cursed. Why are you supposed to be at the door? And you have to be at the door because when you go in, when you go out, you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Glory to God. We're going to stop here.